In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church is the Sunday before the elevation of the precious and life-giving cross. Two events are actually commemorated at the elevation of the cross. First, the actual finding of the cross on Golgotha, and second, the returning of the cross to Jerusalem from Persia, where it had been taken captive. The cross was first discovered by the Empress Helen, who went looking for it in Jerusalem after she learned that it might be buried beneath a temple built to the pagan goddess Venus. The cross was discovered along with two others, and at first they did not know which cross was the actual cross of Christ, because along with Christ had been crucified two thieves, so there were three crosses found. The saintly patriarch Macarius stopped a funeral procession going by and touched each cross to the body being carried along for burial. And the third cross brought the man who was to be buried back to life, thus identifying it as the cross of Christ, the cross of the resurrection. As I mentioned, there is a second event commemorated at this feast, and that is the return of the cross to Jerusalem from Persia, where it had been taken captive along with the inhabitants of Jerusalem after the Persians had conquered the Holy Land. The emperor Heraclius defeated the Persian forces in 628 AD and brought the Holy Cross back to the Holy Land, being commanded by an angel during the procession to take off his imperial robes and bear the cross by himself in the same way Christ was forced to, instead of simply walking next to it in procession. This is what God revealed to the emperor, and it is an important point to remember today. The cross is one of God's greatest miracles, and as I've mentioned in the past homilies, it's one of God's fingerprints upon creation, evident in both the Old and the New Testaments. The cross is this amazing paradox, one that we take for granted today. It is something that is not quite what it really is at first glance. The cross is a mystery. And so we stand before the foot of the cross today. And as we stand at the foot of the cross this entire week, we contemplate this mystery, the emblem of shame and humiliation. Not much needs to be said about it. Sometimes it's simply enough to be in the silent presence of something as powerful as the cross. This is the power of the cross. Something occurred in silence upon it, before our very eyes, unbeknownst to all of humanity and the angels, that has changed the course of the world forever. Regardless of what the surrounding world thinks of Christianity, its impact on the world is undeniable. We can see it in the earliest of apostles, the fact that they are mentioned by name in the Bible, the fact that St. Peter's anguish over his betrayal of Christ is taken seriously, even though he was not some well-to-do Roman citizen. If he was, it would have been seen as a tragedy, perhaps, but he is not. So in reality, the suffering of this poor fisherman should have been seen as a source of mirth and amusement, as historians have pointed out. But it's not. The betrayal of Christ, the anguish of St. Peter, a nobody, is central to the gospel narrative. It's important, which is in itself odd. In ancient pagan literature, the tears of a poor fisherman are meaningless. In Christian literature, the suffering of every man, woman, and child is tantamount to the suffering of all humanity, the suffering of the entire body of Christ. And the way through this suffering is the cross itself. It gives suffering meaning in life. It even vivifies death. The cross shows us a God who, as Paul states in Hebrews, is able to sympathize with our infirmities. Christ is one who was encompassed, surrounded with infirmity, as St. Paul tells us. And Christ wore this infirmity like a robe, the robe of a king. We should always remember this as Christians. We have for our priest and prophet and king, Christ the bridegroom, married to us, the church. And not just married to us, but brought into marital union with him, unworthy, unclean, though we be. To be a Christian is always to realize this. In the greater society, sometimes people talk about people marrying up or marrying down, right? Back in the day, this had to do with actual status. In some places, it still does. But for the Christian, our bridegroom didn't just marry down, but he actually left his own kingdom and moved in with us. He dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, as John 1 says. What an amazing fairy tale that would be, right? A princess tale, Disney, whatever they're called. The prince who not only marries the servant, but moves in with them. Oftentimes, like in Cinderella, it's the other way around, right? But the Christian story is different. Christ first moves in with us. He comes into our shoddy, sinful lives, dwells with us, suffers long with us. And then we consummate the marriage by beating, mocking, scourging, and ultimately nailing him to a cross. Perhaps this marriage could have ended there. Perhaps Christ could have broken off the relationship there, right? No one would have blamed him. But he doesn't. He gets to the root of the problem, one that we should always remember, the root of the problem being death. As Christians, we see death as the ultimate source of sin. Greed, lust, anger, all have their roots in death itself. We are terrified of death. We hoard food and money. We harbor suspicions. We have built up a society that has tried to make death a simple, silent, orderly, hygienic process that happens at the end of our lives as simply a blip in our existence. But this is not the way of Christ. Death has been overcome. Not that we don't die, but that we also rise. I know I harp on these subjects a lot, but I think we could always use a weekly reminder. We are not carrying our crosses toward a black abyss of nothingness, of meaninglessness. We are carrying our crosses ultimately towards a resurrection. When we baptize someone like we did yesterday, we give them a cross. It's not just an ornament. It's not just a fashion statement. And God forbid if it ever becomes that. It's our very way of life. And by this way of life, we can come to sanctify the world around us. Our lives should be a constant reflection of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. This is a beautiful witness to the world. Through this way of life, the world around us becomes sanctified, just as Christ sanctified the world and all of humanity at his own passion. An early writer of the church said that as Christ was raised into the air on the cross, he sanctified not just mankind, but both the heavens to which he was raised and all the heavenly powers that dwelt there, and also Hades, in which the cross of Christ was planted in the ground. And his arms outstretched, both to the east and to the west, witnessed to those who doubted and welcomed those who believed. Like the cardinal directions, the cross of Christ spreads out upon the entire face of earth. May our witness to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection do the same, especially during this week of the precious and life-giving cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.